I've had the most glorious different journeys at airports in the last while. I picked up a friend of mine from Cape Town. He phoned me and said, I want to buy a car from Stormfull Road. I said, but you know where Stormfull Road is? You need a passport to get to Stormfull Road from the east. He said, listen, but can you go and just get me, just go and test drive the car. So I test drove the car. And then he said, well, can you pick me up at the airport? I'm flying in from Cape Town, and then just take me to Stormfull Road so that I can test the car. I said, I've already tested the car. So he said, well, can you just pick me up at the airport anyway? So I said, I can do that, and then we'll go to Stormfull Road. So I picked him up at the airport, and just before he flew out from Cape Town, he SMS'd me and said, I've got a guy from Australia with me. You mind picking him up as well? I said, no problem. Quite demanding friends, eh? And so I picked him up, and I met him about 8 years ago in Australia. He's a pastor in Australia. And he was in the back there, and we got talking about the church and what God is doing. And he said, how are things going? And I said, we've had this most incredible move of baptisms in the church. Just incredible. Young people, old people, educated people, poor people, girls and boys and in their clothes, and people who have grown up and they're just getting baptized. And this guy, this pastor from Australia, just went quiet. And he said, tell me a bit more. So I told him, but I said, why? He said, because I've been saved for 17 years. I'm a pastor, and I've never been baptized. And he said, 2 weeks ago, God told me I must be baptized. And 2 days ago, I wrote in my devotions, if I'm meant to be baptized, Lord, then please confirm it to me. So we never got to Stormfull Road. We just drove to the church on a Monday. We opened up the building. It was pitch black. We opened up the baptismal font, and I baptized him in the baptismal font, because of what God is doing in a church. He comes from many miles away. And then last week, I flew out to Bulawayo. I preached in Bulawayo, and Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I was just about to leave, going out of the international departures, and a man walked up to me and said, hi, Rory, I met you on Sunday. All dressed up in his captain's uniform. And I said, hi, Hannes. He said, no, Johanna. I thought, well, similar. It's like, you Afrikaans guys never have a short name. I knew Hannes is in there somewhere. It's like, Johannes. I didn't remember the Jacobus Christoffel, but I didn't remember all that. I just remembered the Hannes. And I just thought, man, we're worshiping with men. They look normal here, but on the weekdays, they put on captain's uniforms and fly Boeings internationally. And I was just amazed by the beauty of worshiping with students. And I met a man in Pretoria, in Bulawayo, and he said, my little girl's in your church. And I said, what does she do? She said, oh, she's a Springbok triathlete. She's just been to the world champs in France, and she's a schoolgirl, and she lives by herself in Pretoria. I met her this morning. And so we're worshiping with people that we should just look around and say, God, you are glorious. You're just glorious. You're building the church with all these different people. It's quite phenomenal. I tell you that story because I want to end with a story this morning about an airport. I want to wish you happy Father's Day, and I'd like you to turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you're part of our reading plan, which is not a religious exercise but a journey of faith as a community, you would have read 2 Corinthians this week. You would have read Ephesians this week, and you would have read 2 Timothy. Amen? How's it going, Richter? All right? You got stuck on Timothy, eh? Okay, but we're going to preach some Corinthians today. Now, don't answer. I've got the microphone. Now, don't say anything, Richter. I know. I want to preach this morning on 4 fathers. An adopted father, a busy father, a stepfather, and our father. An adopted father, a busy father, a stepfather, and our father. At the end of it, I'm going to pray together. Okay? It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, 2 Corinthians. To the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Put your hand on the person next to you and say, grace and peace to you from God our Father. No, not just earnestly. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Say it. Pray it. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. One more time. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. How many of you need grace and peace today from God our Father? And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Say, Father of compassion. We could preach on any part of God's heart today, but this is our reading plan, and we said we would preach from our reading plan. And this reading plan just happens to be on this week, which is Father's Day. And so I'm going to choose to speak on a compassionate father today. A father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Say all comfort. Who comforts us in all our troubles. Say all our troubles. I wrote some down. Maybe not comprehensive. Maybe doesn't include yours, but yours is included. All our emotional troubles. All grief, pain, heartache, and sadness that you experience right now. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort comforts you in all your troubles on this Father's Day. Sadness, failure, breakdown, breakup, psychological sadness and troubles, depression, learning disabilities, physical afflictions, headaches, shingles, arthritis, MS, AIDS, paralysis, relationship struggles, injustice, cruelty, abuse, feelings, hatred, circumstantial afflictions, losing your job, losing your home, losing your business, losing your income, temptation, regret, addiction, doubt, fears, and sins, all your troubles. All your troubles. All your troubles. How many of you have any of those troubles I've just mentioned now? I feel as with my fellow former leaders of this church, I feel like Heinz said, deep compassion for the season that this nation is in and situations that some of the people in this church are in. And I want to say to you today, if we feel like that, how much more our Father in heaven? I want to share with you, friends, we don't have time because I want to get you out here to go and experience Father's Day. But I want to speak about three dads, because fathers should be challenged at times like this. The first dad I want to speak about is a guy called Mordecai. How many of you know where Mordecai comes from? From the book of Esther's name was Hadassah, and Esther had no father and no mother. She was an orphan. And the Bible says that Mordecai became her father and treated her as if she was one of his own. On Father's Day, my friends, you and I have to be reminded that we can actually be in a home but not be a father. You have to decide almost daily to adopt your children again. He's an adopted dad who took an orphan girl exactly like the picture of the world. Heinz is sitting in Germany with tens of millions of orphan children who've got no access to a heavenly father, and he has to decide every day to be a father to his children, that somehow those orphans in Germany will see what true fathering really looks like.
Yeah.
Amen? And I pray, friends, on this day, that every father makes a decision when you drive home after your CEO job or your professor's job or your mechanic's job. I pray when you drive home that you do not arrive home as some spaced out, exhausted person, but you make a decision to adopt your children afresh every day, so that, like Mordecai, they have the privilege of growing up with a person who's chosen them. You can read it in the book of Esther. The second thing that we see, it says the king said that everybody must bow down to Haman. And so when Haman walks, he's an evil man. When Haman walks, everybody bows down. But the Bible says this, Mordecai would not bow down. Character on Father's Day in our children is determined by our responses to a world system where everybody is bowing down to, and you and our fathers have got to stand straight. As everybody bows down to the value systems of this world and to the success models of this world and to the pressures and influences of this world, as fathers like Mordecai, we have to stand up straight. We cannot bow down to the systems of this world. We cannot bow down to the influences of this world. We cannot bow down to the standards of this world. We've got to stand up straight. And there is something creeping into the world and into the church where we are no different to anybody else. We need fathers to stand up straight so that our children might say, I will take my character from my father, not from the world. Men like Mordecai. I had the incredible privilege yesterday of speaking at one of the premier private schools in this city to a whole lot of fathers and their sons. And one man came up to me after, he just put his head in my chest and he just started to weep with his holding his little boy, 7 or 8 year old child. He said, I never had a father. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to bring him up in the ways I'm into. Can I come and see you? And I said, sir, just stand when everybody bows down to the pressures of this world. Just keep standing. Because we look at the Old Testament, at the sacrificial system of children, and we've got to say, in the busyness of this life, we too are sacrificing our children on the altar of busyness and stress instead of standing against it and said, I will not bow to any earthly king. An adopted father like Mordecai. And later on you read, and he says, let's read it in Esther. I'll just read it to you. In Esther chapter 4, it says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For it will remain silent at this time. Relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. He's her father. He's the adopted dad. And who knows? But that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Say that, for such a time as this. She's an orphan girl that's been adopted into a family, been taught character by a man who will not let the system bend him. And then he says, now my girl, your job is to go and represent God in the royal palaces for such a time as this you are on this earth. My job as a dad is to prepare my children. We are not in Pretoria by mistake. God used Grant to get us here, but behind the picture of Grant calling us and Charmaine sitting on our veranda is the hand of an almighty God that says, I want the Dyer family there. And I get my children to believe that for such a time as this, we are meant to be in Pretoria, you are meant to be in the school that you're meant to be in, you're meant to be friends with the people you're meant to be friends with, you're meant to operate in the sports teams and social circles that you're meant to, not by some coincidence, but by the hand of God. And Heinz is meant to be in Germany, and he should be selling those kids for such a time as this. As you're learning German, there will be a time in 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, where you'll be standing before the authorities, and you'll speak about Jesus. Right. Friends, our children, the Bible says, are arrows in the hand of a warrior. And Devin Askham, as you're at Stellenbosch University, brought up in the ways of God by your mother and father, you're there as an arrow in Stellenbosch University because for such a time as this, young man, you have been born with strength of character and determination of heart and a work ethic and a perseverance because you are an arrow in the hands of your fathers and bringing great blessing to the world. That's what dads do. And John and Mark and Rosie and Antoinette and Adrian are being fashioned right now every day like a knife into a sharp arrow. And he said, if you are silent now, Mitchell, if you are silent now, Nasia, if you are silent now, Thomas, then God will raise another man, a faithful man whose heart is fully his. for such a time as this. That Springbok athlete sitting in this auditorium today with her granny, while her mum and dad are sitting in Bulawayo, for such a time as this, you are in the sporting community of this nation because of the gift which God put into your heart. Friends, we have a Father in heaven who chose to adopt us. We have a Father in heaven who stood up for values and a system and a kingdom different to this world. And we have a Father in heaven who has a divine purpose and plan upon our lives. Whether you're a CEO or a businessman or a mechanic, friends, you are there by the will of God, by the call of God, and by the grace of God. Amen. Happy Father's Day. The second thing I want to speak about is a busy dad. And we know about the Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31? Say it. Proverbs 31 woman, but there's a man in there as well. And he creates an incredible environment for his family. He's a busy man because he's obviously got some Senate position or some CEO position, but he doesn't seem to be in the house a lot. He seems to be doing his job at the city gates. But the Bible says he's got full confidence in his wife. Full confidence in her. And it says her children arise and call her blessed, and he does too. Fathers, we have to create an environment where our children don't sit down when their mother walks into a room. Fathers create an environment. It doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter what job you have. The Proverbs 31 man was a busy man. But when the mother walked into the home, the children stood up and called her blessed. The greatest gift that I can give to my children is to love their mum. And when my one son wrote me a letter today, he said, "Dad, I want to follow your example." And I didn't ask him what example, but I hope one of the examples is the way that I treat his mother. Because what happens, friends, in busyness, when we sit at the city gate and you do your engineer's drawings and you have deadlines as an architect and you have board meetings as a CEO, many times we come back and we abdicate our responsibility for the condition and the temperature of our homes. And Father's Day reminds us, however busy you are responsible for the temperature of your home, and I have failed dismally many times, so it doesn't come with judgment. But when I read that scripture, I want my wife to know she's treasured. She said, "You are precious. You are like a gem." I want my children to know that my wife is treasured, and I want my children to stand up. They don't learn that example from people around them. They learn that example from their dad. Happy Father's Day, busy men. How's your home doing? One of the greatest sadnesses in my heart is how men erode the confidence of woman. When you read that scripture, it says her husband has full confidence in her. Don't cut them off. Don't break them down. Don't belittle them in their role. Be a father like God our Father, who stands up and calls her blessed. Number two. Number three, a stepfather. I always wondered why God chose Mary. Have you ever wondered that? There must have been amazing virgin girls there, but he chose Mary. And I think he chose Mary, as I look at the scriptures, because of Joseph. He God is clever. He wouldn't have just said, "Well, I mean, I've got to find the right woman to give birth to my son." I think he must have thought he's going to live in his house a long time. He said, "I need the right stepdad to bring up my children." And Joseph doesn't say a single word in the Bible. Never ever utters a single word. But there's enough written about him that you and I can celebrate on Father's Day as stepfathers. And the first thing is simply this. When Mary became pregnant, it had never been heard of before, never been spoken of, no one had become divinely pregnant before, he must have in his mind thought she's had an affair with somebody. And yet his immediate reaction is to cover her because he knows there's human sin, but he knows there's also human feelings, and he builds a pattern around her to divorce her quietly because he's actually interested in protecting Mary. And he showed mercy like it's never been shown before. And many years later, when Jesus Christ came across a sinful woman who's caught in the act of adultery, where did he learn that grace from? It must have been from his stepdad, Joseph. He said, where are those who accuse you? They said, there are none. And he said, then neither do I accuse you, because my dad, Joseph, my stepdad, taught me about mercy. And an environment, friends, of unbelievable accusation in a city where people get accused all the time. Let us be stepdads who teach our kids mercy. The second thing I believe why God chose Joseph to be his son's stepdad was because he believed in possibilities. When God came to Mary, he said, nothing is impossible for God. And impossibility is something that creeps into our hearts very quickly. It's impossible to make a buck. It's impossible to get my business going. I grew up in a home, fortunately, where never and can't were not words we could use. And my dad, I'd say, I'll never make the team. He said, hey boy, remember in the Dyer house, never and can't aren't words we use. So I said, Dad, but I can't. He said, no boy, remember in the Dyer house, under my roof, while I provide your food, you do not have the privilege of using those words. So I said, where must I say them, Dad? He said, outside. But don't say them inside. Said, because if that negative stuff gets into my house, we'll stop doing what we're called to do. He just, my dad flunked out of university. I said, Dad, I mean, you're a failure. He said, no, boy. He said, I think it would have hampered my income abilities. He just thinks like that. That's how he thinks. So he doesn't see it as failure. He just bounces. And that's because he believes in himself. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a father who said, nothing is impossible. And Joseph actually believed it. So he's got a girl who's had a dream. He's had a visit from an angel. And instead of just poo-pooing it and think, angels, girls, dream, it's like all weird, he actually believed it was possible in God. And Jesus grew up with a stepfather who actually believed in the possibilities of a heavenly father. What kind of a stepdad are you to your children? I want my children to learn mercy from me. They're actually his kids. I'm just their stepdad. But I want to teach them mercy. That when people sin, God wraps a redemptive pattern around them. I want them to know, whether they live in South Africa, or whether they go to Germany, or whether they go down to Stellenbosch, I want my kids to know that all things are possible for God. And the third thing, he actually believed God's word and took her in. He just took her in. He took her to be his wife by faith. He just took her in. I want a stepdad. I want to be a stepdad that just believes God and takes people in. I don't care how you arrive at this church. I don't care if you're broken. I don't care if you're battered. I don't care if you're bruised. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. We want to have stepfathers up here that say, you come in and be part of my home. We'll do you good. An adopted dad, a busy dad, a stepdad, and 2 Corinthians 1, our dad. I left Bulawayo Airport on Thursday. The man who dropped me said, I'm going to come in with you. I said, just drop me. We've been talking for 2 days. He said, just drop me and we go. And he said, no, I'm coming in with you. I said, why? He said, I want to make sure you get on the plane. It's like, I don't want you here another day. And so he parked his car and we walked into Bulawayo Airport. And the first lady that we saw was very flustered. She was crying and she was agitated and her son was agitated. And he knew them and he said, is everything all right? She said, burst into, said, no, everything's not all right. Said, what's wrong? She said, my daughter has come from the Isle of Man via Durban. She's in Joburg. She's missed her flight to Bulawayo. She doesn't know a single soul in Johannesburg. And she's got no money. And my devotion that morning was I serve a God, a Father of compassion, and a God of all comfort who comforts me in all my troubles. And I said, I'm going to Joburg. I've got a spare room in my house. He knows me. And so I phoned the little girl, young 20-year-old girl in Joburg here, but I said, hi, my name is Rory. I'm going to pick you up. You're going to come and stay with my wife and children. She started to weep on the phone. Because I serve a God of compassion and a God of all comfort. And today on Father's Day, we worship that God. And I walked through the arrivals at Johannesburg Airport. She couldn't run to me fast enough. And when she saw me, she started to weep. And I didn't know why God had sent her, but we took her home and we had an amazing meal together. And she opened up. And on Friday morning, I was meant to be preparing this sermon. And I thought, no, I'm going to take her with my wife to the airport. And on the way to the airport, I said, tell me about your family. I said, my parents are divorced. My stepfather, a tough man. I said, so I actually left and I came down to South Africa. Start working and to try and set up a base for my siblings so that when they're old enough, they could come down and they could launch off my base. She said, but I actually burnt out and I ended up in a psychiatric hospital where nobody knew me, and nobody cared for me, and I couldn't get out because I had no support system. So for 4 months, she was stuck in a psychiatric hospital in Pietermaritzburg, and she couldn't get out. And now she's stuck at a Joburg airport. No way to get out, no one to look after her, no money to get home. But God, our Father, who is compassionate and comforter, who's taking a Pretoria church through a series of Bible, meets a woman through a pastor in Bulawayo who picks up a girl in Johannesburg because she needs to know what God is really like. And we sat in our car at Joburg Airport, my wife and her and I, and we cried and we prayed and we cried and we prayed and we cried and we prayed because God, our Father, is a God of compassion and comfort. And Paul does this in Ephesians, which you would have read. It says, for this reason, for every reason that was written before Ephesians, the reason of every blessing in Christ, the reason of the Father who's powerful. It says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family on heaven and earth derives its name. That means you, sir, whether you're a Van der Walt, a Dyer, a Smith, a Wegerle, a De Toy, a Robinson, a Mudley, a Naidu, a Ndlovu, you and I have got the same surname on Father's Day. Because of what God did. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family on heaven and earth derives its name. And I pray out of his glorious riches that he might strengthen you in your inner being, that you, being rooted and established in love, may together with all the saints, the girl who's down here on a Springbok triathlete scholarship, the man who flies jumbo jets internationally, the student who sits next to you, that you, together with all the saints, might grasp, somehow get hold of. How long? To the end of your life, from the beginning of your life. How wide? It doesn't matter how far out you are, he can get to you. How deep? It doesn't matter how much you've sinned, he can get to you. And how high? It will eventually get to you to heaven, is the love of Christ for us. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in Christ and the church, now and forevermore. Our Father adopted us. Our Father is busy, but he creates an environment of individual progress and flourishing, like the Father in Proverbs 31. Our Father chooses the best stepfathers in our lives so that we can represent him on this earth. And our Father is a Father of compassion for all your troubles. In Jesus' name. Amen.